want you to open your Bibles, please, in John's Gospel, chapter number 1. First chapter of the book of John's Gospel. And we're reading some verses together from the opening verse, John's Gospel, chapter 1, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's truth together, please. John's Gospel, chapter 1, commencing to read at verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 11, He came unto His own. His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We end our reading there, and we know that God Himself will add His blessing to the reading of His precious Word for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. We sang the hymn this morning, a few moments ago, Who is He in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At His feet we humbly fall. Crown Him, Lord of all. Who is He to whom they bring all the sick and the sorrowing? It's a beautiful hymn that was written many years ago by Benjamin Hanby. And you know, when we think of the words, it asks and poses a question. Who is He? And I want this morning to answer the question that is posed in that hymn. Who is He? Who is He? Who is the One before whom the angels worshipped? Who is He before whom the shepherds fell? And the wise men came and brought their gifts. Who is He? When we come to study the Savior in the Word of God, we must clearly understand who He is. We must get a clear and a very vivid understanding of the identity and the person of Christ. I believe that that is of extreme importance, that we get a very clear understanding of the identity and the person of Christ. Because if we have a wrong understanding, then, friends, we have a wrong understanding of the One we say we trust. And if we don't really know who He is, how can we trust Him? We say we trust in His redeeming blood. We trust in His finished work upon the cross. We trust in Calvary's sacrifice, not the wood, but the work of the cross of Calvary. Then we need to understand, who is it that hangs upon that tree? Who is He? I believe we've got the answer to that question in the opening 5 verses of chapter 1 of the book of John. Let's read them again, please. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I believe, you know, those first 5 verses that we have in John chapter 1 are a literary gem that shines brightly before our eyes. And some of the most profound words that have ever been penned by the hand of man under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And I believe the great truths here are actual foundational truths to our faith and to our understanding of Christ. The words in John chapter 1 help to bring us to the great summit of scriptural truth and help us in our understanding of who Jesus Christ, our Savior, really is. I think there are five things here, and we'll just seek to get them through as quickly as we can and yet they're important. First of all, let us look at His eternal existence, the eternal existence here. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here we see, in these words, the eternal existence of Christ. You see, the very first statement in John's Gospel speaks of the eternal existence of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, the existence of Christ is forever. And here that we find it clearly stated, not only was the Word with God, but the Word was God. In that lovely Psalm number 90, in that Psalm which tells us, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In the verse 2 it says, before the mountains were brought forth. And we'll see just exactly when that took place. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. When are we speaking about here? Before that God ever formed the earth or formed the world. Before He ever brought this world into being. It says, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. You turn to the high priestly, or the Lord's Prayer. In actual fact, it is, in more truth, the Lord's Prayer, which is John chapter 17, the prayer of the Lord Jesus, in the high priestly prayer. We find in verse 5, it says, John 17:5, and now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now notice that. It says, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so we're speaking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're thinking about the triune God away back in eternity past, before God ever formed the earth or before God ever formed the world. Now it says here in John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Was with God in the beginning. And the Word was God. You see the words there in the beginning? When are we speaking about? We're speaking about, and it refers to the creation, when creation came into existence. Not when Christ came into existence. Because He is from everlasting to everlasting. We read those words in the beginning in another part of the Scriptures, don't we? Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Or the heaven and the earth. And when the Lord Jesus was praying, He spoke about the glory which we had before the world was. And so when we think about the words in the beginning, we're thinking about the time when God started the clock of time. There is no time of eternity. It's the timelessness of eternity. We're speaking about when God started the clock of time. In the beginning, when God started the clock. And it says God created in the beginning the heaven and the earth. And so when it was at that moment, it says, then in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so John 1 here, 1 makes it clear that when the beginning occurred, Christ already existed. And Christ is not limited to time. He is eternal. His eternal existence. See, the beginning is the earliest point of measured time. And yet time is only a segment of eternity. Eternity has no beginning. Eternity has no ending. And let's just read it again. In the beginning was the Word. In actual fact, it can be read this way. In the beginning, the Word was. In the beginning, the Word was. Before the beginning, before time occurred, Christ already existed. Before He ever formed, in the beginning, the earth and the world. He said, Father, we had the glory together before the world began. Before time began. Away back there in the timelessness of eternity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelt in blessed harmony and fellowship together. And you see, from the beginning occurred, but Christ already existed. Turn to the book of Colossians chapter 1. This is what it says here in Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Quickly, chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 16. It says this. For by Him, that's by Christ. You'll notice this. Verse 14 identifies who it is. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God. Now verse 16. For by Him were all things created. By Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. He is indeed truly the Ancient of Days. He is indeed the Eternal One. And you deny the eternal existence of Christ, friend, and you're denying the truth of the Scripture. It's as clear as that. The Scripture is very clear. Although Christ was manifest in the flesh, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld His glory, but before He was manifest in the flesh, before He was born of Mary, yet He was the one who had an everlasting eternal existence. He is from everlasting and He is to everlasting. There will never be a time that He will never exist. Of course, it is true, there never come a time that you will not exist. Because God has placed now, when God created man, He placed eternity in your heart. And friends, let me tell you, you're not only mortal, but you're immortal. And you will indeed have to exist on and will exist on in the eons and endlessness of an eternity. And if you're saved in the presence of Christ, and if you're not saved in the presence of the devil in hell, for all eternity, there will never be a moment that you will cease to exist. When God breathed into man and man became a living soul, man will never cease to exist. He'll cease to exist in this earth. But God requires the soul go back to the God who gave it. And you go out into eternity. But the Lord Jesus Christ, then, before the world was ever formed, before the world was ever brought into existence, because the Bible tells us that He was before all things. And He said, Father, I want you to reveal the glory that I had with Thee before the world was. When did the world come into existence? In the beginning. In the beginning of time. In the starting of the clock of time, friend. When God started the clock, let me tell you this. And God formed the earth and the worlds. Jesus Christ already existed. Because by Him, all things consist. And He made all things, and He's before all things. The eternal existence. Then secondly, notice quickly, the essential explanation here. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here, we see the Father and the Son together. The Word was with God. Christ is the Word, the living Word. Christ indeed is the Word of God. And we find here, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And at Christmas time, we remember the birth, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He humbled Himself and He took upon Himself the form of a servant and the form of man. And He dwelt among us. But let me tell you this, before He dwelt among us in time, it says the Word was with God. He dwelt in the bosom of the Father before He ever came to the bosom of a woman. And the Word with, and the Word was with God, denotes more than being or beside someone. It means a living union and communion. In other words, it says here, God's Son was face to face with God His Father. He existed in the closest possible, intimate, and indescribable and sacred union with His Father. In actual fact, so inseparable are they. He was with God. He said this, I and my Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30. I noted down a little verse concerning that in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. In verse 22 it says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His work of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the world was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He sent a compass upon the face of the depths, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the fountains or foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him. I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. What a beautiful description, friend. And the Word was with God. And yet whilst He says, I and my Father are one, yet the Son of God is a distinct individual from the Father and from the Holy Spirit. You see, the old apostates deny the Trinity. But let me make something clear, friend. You cannot deny the Trinity
on the one hand,
and say you believe the Bible on the other hand. Because this is not an unnecessary doctrine. It is an essential biblical truth. And either you believe the Bible. You see, I don't fully understand the Trinity. Three in one and one in three. Friend, let me tell you. You may not understand the book. And it may not be fully understood until you get home to heaven. And He reveals it all together by and by. But friend, believe it. Take God at His word today. It says the Word was with God. And then it says this. And the Word was God. There's the clear, undeniable fact. The deity of Christ. The Word was with God, yes, but the Word was God. You see, there are those today that try to deify man and humanize Christ. They want to elevate us. We are the master of all our own destiny. And they want to place Jesus Christ onto the human level. Yes, He became flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, He was bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. Yes, He became man and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. But He's God, a very God. He is the God-man. The Son of Man, but the Son of God. And to suggest that Christ was only a man is to deny Scripture. And therein to show the depths of the depravity of the human heart. The Unitarians, they call them the bloodless Unitarians, they are opposed to the teaching of the deity of Christ. In actual fact, they teach that to worship Christ is idolatry. The Jehovah Witnesses cult, they despise the doctrine of the deity of Christ so much that they have their own translation of the Bible in order to pervert the meaning of the Greek words to make Christ a created being. Such is the depths of the depravity of the human heart. You see, the doctrine of the deity of Christ, friend, enforces the lordship of Christ. Christ over man. And man's a rebel. Man doesn't want authority over him. Do you remember what they said way back when he was on this earth? We will not have this man to rule over us. They don't want the lordship of Christ. They don't want to bow before him. And they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. But they said something else. Away with him! Away with him! And man today is trying to destroy Christ and take away his lordship and his deity, who he is. What does this book tell us, friend? Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Those who have bowed the knee in time acknowledge it gladly because they acknowledge Him as their Savior. But those that do not acknowledge Him in time as their Lord will acknowledge it not to their salvation, but to their damnation and to their condemnation. And the Bible repeatedly brings before our minds and proclaims this truth. Jesus Christ is God. Who is He? He's God, friend. Let me just show you quickly. Go back into the Old Testament concerning the prophecy. Into the book of Isaiah. And when you turn back in the pages of time and into the Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah chapter 7. Go to verse 14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. God with us. The Lord Jesus unashamedly claimed who he was in John chapter 8, in the verse 58. The Lord Jesus made a claim concerning himself. Jesus said unto them, verse 58, John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abram was, I am. Not I was, I am. The great I am, Jehovah. Do you notice how the people reacted to that claim? Look at the next verse. Then took they up stones to cast him out. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They stoned him when he claimed he was the I am. The Jews knew exactly what he was claiming. And they knew exactly who he was. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Turn to chapter 10 of John. Just see it again, quickly. Go to verse 30. And in verse 30 of chapter 10, it says this, I and my Father are one. Claiming he was God. Now notice what they did. Verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Go to verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because thou, being a man, makest thyself what? God. And they knew exactly what he was claiming. They knew exactly that he was saying, I am God. And let me tell you, time's away this morning before I can't go into this further, but I say this to you. There is no excuse for man not knowing about the deity of Christ. It's in the book. Who is he? Who is he? We see his eternal existence. We see the essential explanation. We see the evident expansion. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Some people say, why is that there? Is verse 1 not enough? Listen, I don't believe that when God gives it a second time and emphasizes something, that that's simply duplication. I believe it's intentional in the heart of God. And I believe there is a repeat of truth here. And when you see a repeat of truth given to you there, verse 1 tells us the same as verse 2. The same, that's the word, was in the beginning with God. And I believe that there it is, giving us a display of its certainty and of its importance. But very quickly, look at the established exposition, verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who is He? He's God. Who is He? He's governor. He created it, and He controls it. And that takes us a step further in our understanding of who He is, friend. He's the creator of the universe. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. There we see His power. He's greater than the universe. He existed before all things. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says amen to what is written here in John chapter 1, because he puts it like this. Verse 16, by Him were all things created. Very clear statement. Listen, know what that does? It puts a pen through evolution. Puts a pen, simple statement of God, puts a pen through the rottenness of evolution and the poison of it that some of our schools try to put in and our professors try to put into the hearts of our young people. How did the world begin? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It tells us all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Friend, there's nothing clearer than that. That's God's statement. Listen, this word's mine. I made it. I made it. Notice how He puts it. All things were made by Him. All things. In Colossians 1, by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Then He goes further. I said He's governor. Listen. All things were created by Him and for Him. And then He goes further. He is before all things, and by Him all things consists. Listen, He holds it all together. Remember when the Pope came, Rome sang to him, He's got the whole world in His hands. What a lie. For all things are in the hands of my Savior. By Him all things consist. Psalm 33 verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. You know, when it's a fact that we know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost were inseparably associated in the creation. Go back to the Genesis chapter 1, just read it, and you see that, you know, by the Word of God. Who's the Word of God? Lord Jesus. Spirit moved upon the waters, Holy Spirit. We see the unity in purpose, the unity in power, the unity in plan. Let me just finish. All things. That means every detail of creation, friend. Each element. Being. Person. Angelic. Human. All things. Were made. Means came into being. Nothing was existing. No substance. No matter whatsoever. Christ was actively engaged in the creation of every single thing. Not even one thing was outside of his control and creation. All things, every little detail, he had a part in. He purposed. You know, the world tries to tell us that God doesn't care about this world anymore. Even those, some of those who say, well, we believe God made it, but God doesn't want to know about it. Let me tell you, friend, it's by him all things consist. He still holds it together. And thank God he's keenly interested in this world. He's not far removed from his creation. God's not disinterested in his creation. God's not unconcerned about what's happening in the world. Let me tell you this. God's already ordained what will happen in this world. And I've read the last chapter of the book. And he's told me how he's bringing it all together. And he'll bring the old world to its conclusion. And there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, for the former things are passed away. And not only did he make it, but he maintains it. He keeps creation regulated. He keeps it running on time. He keeps the world running on its course. By him all things consist. Or as Hebrews says, upholding all things by the word of his power. All we are blessed today, we believe his word. And verse 5, 4 and 5 just simply tells us the enduring expectation. You see two things, life and light. And the dead need life, and those in darkness need light. And praise God, Jesus is the answer to our need. Who is he? Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet, listen, at his feet we humbly fall. Listen, can you change that? Can you change it? Can you honestly say this morning, at his feet I humbly fall? I crown him. Crown him. Lord of all. May God grant that that's so. For Jesus' sake, let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts this day. And Lord, we rejoice with such a wonderful Savior. And we worship you, and we love you, and we adore you. And though the world seeks to demean you, we say this morning out of our hearts, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, Lord Jesus, I love you now. For Jesus' sake.